This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I hope you've missed me as much as I missed all of you. What a weekend. I was trying to unplug like I always do, but there were some headlines that were just unavoidable this weekend. I'll read you one right now. Ukraine-Russia crisis. NATO sends reinforcements as PM warns Putin conflict would be disastrous. So Russia, this whole thing could be going better. That's me putting it very mildly. But I don't think it's anything that a margarita and some kickboxing classes can't fix. Am I right, Jen Psaki? If you're listening out there, that's all we need. I hope they have Biden at some delicious restaurant where he's just slurping down some margaritas to fix all of the issues that he has caused. Now,
suck it to me, baby.
After Biden's Wednesday presser, which is really becoming kind of a marvel because the fallout from this thing that, think of all the pressers Trump had, the long pressers that Trump had, and you know, what would react? The media would set their hair on fire. But for the most part, nothing would really go wrong. You know, Trump had said some things in the past that everyone assumed was going to start World War III. And yet it didn't. Now, Biden holds a press conference last Wednesday. I did not think we would still be talking about this now. And the repercussions from the lunatic things he decided to say are still showing themselves. After Biden's Wednesday presser, Putin has a pretty good idea of what the U.S. is willing and, more importantly, is not willing to do as far as helping Ukraine if Russia were to invade. This is mostly because Joe Biden decided to explain exactly what we would do in all of its details out loud to the entire world at his press conference. And I don't think, if nothing were to come from this, I don't think I really would have drilled down. I mean, I know the minor incursion remark really gathered a lot of attention. But over the weekend, because of the recent updates from this story, people have really gone through that section of the press conference word by word. And it's insane when you think about how much he revealed. He was so open, you know, oh, if it's a minor incursion, we'll have to talk to NATO, figure out what we're willing to do. As if he's talking about where he's going to go to dinner tonight or like which farm they're going to send his next dog to. Well, we got to check in with the, figure out who's willing to take him. Keeps biting everybody. You're talking about Russia invading the Ukraine like it ain't no thing. And what he's realizing, and he, when you think about Trump and the art of the deal, and there's going to be a lot of this today. I gotta harken back to the before times today because there's so many levels of irony in this. One is that Trump, we were always told, was in bed with Putin. All roads lead to Putin. They have compromat on Trump. Trump loves Putin. Remember all the magazine covers of like Trump and Putin being best friends? There was artwork, graffiti of Trump and Putin like caressing each other. Wonder if we'll get any of those of Joe Biden. But really, what this shows is just, I guess, there's two roads. And that is really what I want to talk about today in this opening hour. And I'm throwing it out to the callers because it's Monday. And I know you guys want to, as Chris Cuomo would say, God love him. I haven't seen him in a while. I know you want to get after it. And we do need to kind of break this down because in my mind, there's two roads here. One is that Biden, and I think this is the more believable one. One is that Biden is told information. And it's very logical stuff that he was told. You know, I'm not saying that realistically there are certain minor incursions that would not require the same kind of response as a larger incursion. So it's very possible he's told all of this and he just comes out and decides to spew it out loud because, as we've witnessed over the last 10 months, what feels like the last 10 years, is that he's in cognitive decline. So that does make sense. But I've
Biden's losing it.
Yeah, thank you. But I've seen a lot of pieces today and a lot of tweets and just, you know, I watched a little bit of Fox this morning, a little bit of Newsmax. I've seen a lot of positions that people are taking today, which is there's something more sinister here. We know Biden's long history with the Ukraine. Remember that video where he bragged about withholding money from the Ukraine if they didn't call off an investigation into a business, I believe, that his son was involved in? You know, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here. But Joe Biden has a long history with the Ukraine. Messy history. And so some people are saying that this is more thought out than meets the eye. And I want to kind of figure out what we think about that. Because on one hand, I feel the same way I felt when they would say these things about Trump. You can't have it both ways. He can't be a blubbering fool and also be orchestrating all of this stuff to help his corrupt family. But can he? I don't know. So I'm throwing that out there. But what I want to get back to here is that he is like a poker player who gets a good hand and starts showing everyone at the table. That's his level of the art of the deal. It's like, do you guys like this? Okay, cool.
Check it out, guys. All red cards.
Yeah, despite years of tough talk about Putin. You know, I looked at Putin in the eyes and he has no soul. I file that in the same part of my brain as the Motel Hotel story. Like, we know it didn't happen. No one cares what he's talking about, but he's saying it. Well, it seems now that after all of that tough talk, he's pretty comfortable, like, kind of paving the way for Putin to come in and take over the Ukraine. And now everyone from Antony Blinken to Kamala Harris is trying to backtrack on his comments. I'm going to repeat that nice and slow, because this is maybe one of the most frightening things I'm ever going to say on this show. Antony Blinken and Kamala Harris are trying to stave off a war between Ukraine and Russia.
I don't know, those clips I pulled from the weekend of Antony Blinken on the talk show circuit, that really instilled confidence.
The Spotify guy.
Going on.
It's Jared. It's for people who don't know this, a couple months ago, I think it was in December, Antony Blinken's official state, whatever, Twitter account was putting out his Spotify. Like, follow Antony on Spotify. You'll love his picks. He listens to Olivia Rodrigo and the Jonas Brothers. And I'm sitting there going, does he not? Maybe this is why the Afghanistan situation unraveled in the way it did. He's very concerned about people following him on Spotify. I didn't even know you could follow people on Spotify. And I have a Spotify. I just look up songs I like. I didn't know it was like a follow back type of thing. But I don't even have the time to worry about if people are following me on Spotify. It's nice to know Antony Blinken has ample time to focus on that. So we've got the Spotify guy, who, by the way, is saying hashtag I stand with the Ukraine. So as a writer from Breitbart pointed out, hashtag diplomacy is back. Michelle Obama would be happy to know. Antony Blinken, the Spotify guy, and Kamala Harris, the moon crater enthusiast, are on cleanup duty for this. And so naturally, it's failing. Naturally, this cleanup duty is not working. There's more of a mess than there was in the beginning. Here's an example. This is all from CNN now, all these reports. The U.S. State Department announced Sunday evening it would reduce staff levels at the U.S. Embassy in the Ukraine, beginning with the departure of non-essential staff and family members. State Department officials, this is the part I was most interested in, because it sounded so familiar. You know, I couldn't put my finger on it, but it felt like I had seen this film before. State Department officials urged Americans to leave the country now, warning that State Department assistance would be severely impacted if there is Russian military action in the country. The officials, wait, it gets better, Jared. Jared's ready to say something. It gets better right here. The officials said they wouldn't provide evacuation flights yet, urging Americans to take commercial flights now, warning that State Department assistance would be severely impacted if there is a Russian military action in the country. They would not provide evacuation flights. Again, I'm asking my producer, does this make you think of any other situation that we've had in our long history in this country?
You had your chance, you dumb bastards. Guess you just didn't want to leave.
Sorry, we warned you.
We warned you.
We sent out emails.
There was a text.
Here's another.
You would think after Afghanistan, you might re-examine what you did that didn't work for the next time you get to evacuate an embassy. By the way, Joey, baby, losing two countries in a year, that's pretty good.
I know.
Trump couldn't do that.
You can't say he's not breaking records, you know? You really can't. And there was actually, as great as some of these headlines are, as far as like shining light on what's happening, and we'll get into it. There's a really good piece in The Federalist by Margot Cleveland about Biden's ties to the Ukraine. It kind of breaks it all down. But I have to say, over the weekend, some of my favorite headlines came from the Babylon Bee, because it's really hard to distinguish now between satire and reality. We're in a ginormous episode of Woker Joke. It's like the Truman Show, but it's Woker Joke. Taylor Cormier, the Wizard of Woke, is just watching it all unfold and laughing to himself.
Not a joke.
We live in the Babylon Bee now. The Babylon Bee has become reality. And I want to read you these headlines to explain. Biden says Russia can invade Ukraine so long as they avoid Hunter's gas company. Biden warns Russia that if they invade, this is my favorite. This one is so spot on. Biden warns Russia that if they invade Ukraine, America will evacuate haphazardly and leave $86 billion in weapons behind. And I also love this tweet from Ben Shapiro. Hunter Biden picked up bags of Ukrainian cash and all Ukraine got was another Russian invasion. Then, like I said before, when you add in the fact that Trump was supposedly the one who was in bed with Putin, the hypocrisy is hilarious, but unfortunately, the situation is very serious. And I always thought with Biden, like when he would talk nonsense, Amtrak Joe, or, you know, call us all George Wallace, or whatever he was up to that day, I always thought, yeah, it's so crazy that he's in charge of this country, but we have survived worse. We had Matt Boyle on last week, and he broke it down perfectly. He said, you know, this country has survived worse. We will survive Joe Biden. But the astounding part of this guy is that through his gaffes and his personal corruption with his family, he could lead us into war. He absolutely could. And there was other headlines that China sent 39 warplanes into Taiwan's air defense identification zone on Sunday. So other countries are watching this. Other powers are watching this. And they play the long game. And they have played the long game for, I mean, it's repetitive here, but a long time. And if you think they're not looking at Joe Biden going, okay, now might be the time. We've waited. I don't see it getting any sweeter than this old man.
So, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
We're going to talk about this. I think it's the biggest story of the day. We also will get to a lot of hilarious stories. I mean, Brian Stelter visited a school to talk about misinformation. Not a Babylon Bee headline. That is also real. He visited a school to teach children how to spot misinformation. I think they all went, we're spotting it now. They all started pointing at him. You're misinformation.
They just can't stay away from elementary schools, can they, at CNN?
Some of the responses to that story were just perfect. Right when you think people aren't paying attention, you see the responses to that, and it is a thing of beauty. All right, we have that. We have a lot of other stories to talk about today, and we're going to take all of your calls for this hour. So it's 844-500-4242. I want to hear what you think. Do you think this is Joe Biden's nefarious plan, or do you think this is just a man who can't keep his mouth shut and is walking into all of these messes? 844-500-4242. Lines are open. We're going to have a lot of fun today. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
There's another important part of this Ukraine-Russia story that I want to mention, again from CNN. So this is not misinformation. This is fact-checked by the likes of Daniel Dale.
It's an infamous fake.
Oh, I like that. I haven't heard that drop yet. The Biden administration is in the final stages of identifying specific military units it wants to send to Eastern Europe and writing up the military orders in an effort to deter Russia, which has massed tens of thousands of troops on the border with Ukraine, according to multiple U.S. and defense officials. You know what might have deterred Russia if Biden hadn't said that Russia could invade Ukraine? Just President a thought. Putin. I'm not a foreign policy expert like Joe. I haven't been wrong on every foreign policy issue over the last four decades like Joe Biden, but that would just be my natural gut instinct. Sean, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Grace. Love the show. It's just exactly what you were just saying. For 5.5, 6 years, during Trump's beginning of his presidency, the Dems warned he's going to get us into war. He's going to ruin this country. He's going to bankrupt us. He didn't do any of that. He did exactly the opposite. He pulled our men and women out of Afghanistan and lowered our troop numbers overseas. He made our economy awesome. And everything that they warned us about that he would do, Biden is doing to us.
Yes.
We're going to be at war.
Yes. And I want to also open that up to a conversation here, which I hope it doesn't come to this, but there are people, you know, serious people, as Jonathan Carl might dub them, who are debating whether or not we are going to end up sending American troops over to the Ukraine, and if we are going to get into a war with Russia. And I have to say, and actually, you know what? I'm going to read Donald Trump Jr.'s remark right here because I thought this was pretty good. This Russia-Ukraine mess is a direct result of Biden's weakness. Everyone knows it. Nobody pulled this nonsense with Trump in the White House. But I have to say, I wish Dems and their media pals cared as much about our southern border as they apparently do about Ukraine's eastern border. Now, that is true. And I also, and maybe I can pull this during the break, but Tucker Carlson a couple months ago had a great segment on how he thought Biden was going to start a war to kind of deflect from all of his failures. And I think a lot of people have that same mindset. I was with a group of people over the weekend watching the football games, and this headline came on about Russia and the Ukraine. And someone did say, oh, yeah, this will be the perfect way for him to try to distract from all of his failures. But I really, really hope that we're not dumb enough to have our young men and women killed over there for a fight that really has nothing to do with us.
Well, right now, General Milley is just making sure that all the proper pronouns are on the dog tags for the people we're going to send over. So we're in good hands.
Oh, thank gosh we have all these woke military experts on our side. What would we do without them?
Corporal, they, them.
When we get back, we're going to talk more about this. 844-500-4242. I want to go into what that caller just said about how Trump used to be the one who was Putin's BFF. And now that's starting to appear like it was false. Call in, weigh in. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
And so I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, etc. But if they actually do what they're capable of doing with the force amassed on the border, it is going to be a disaster for Russia.
It's still pretty shocking to hear. Even we've had so many days to wrap our heads around that ridiculous comment. But Margot Cleveland has a piece in The Federalist, and she wrote, After the press conference, Biden's team attempted to walk back his minor incursion comment, but it was much too late for that. Putin already noted the green light that Biden flashed not just once, but twice. Because then what happened, if everyone remembers this, another reporter had to bring it up to him again and say, are you essentially telling Putin that it will be no big deal if he were to invade, if it's minor? And he said, he laughed and said, it did sound like I said that, didn't I? Again, you would have no idea that he's talking about such an important issue. You would think he was deciding what he's going to have for lunch. Speaking of lunch, is China still eating our lunch? That's a whole nother story. But everything that this administration touches turns to excrement, is how we would say. Anne, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Anne.
Hey, Grace. I am hoping, okay, I have a different take on this, that now that the stock market is failing and it starts to affect other people, that people will want to get rid of Biden so bad, and they understand that Kamala can't take over, she doesn't have it, that they'll admit that they cheated and put Donald Trump back in place for the last 2 years.
Oh, Anne, I so appreciate the call, and I love the sentiment, but I can assure you that the Trump derangement is actually the only thing that is keeping some of the more diehard Biden loyalists from admitting that this is a train wreck. I mean, I don't know if, Anne, if you watched the reports over the weekend, but everyone from NBC to ABC to even CNN, all of these anchors, all of these cheerleaders in our mainstream media were admitting that the approval rating for Joe Biden, and some of the other numbers were actually way worse than just approval. It was like people feeling optimistic about the United States, people feeling like we're on the right track. The numbers for Kamala, they were brutal. And that is me being generous. Even Chuck Todd, I tweeted out today the old expression. I think it was LBJ who said, if I've lost Cronkite, I've lost the left. And I let everyone know that if you've lost Chuck Todd. No, I'm sorry. It was if I've lost Cronkite, I've lost middle America. And this is if you've lost Chuck Todd, you've lost the left. I mean, there's no going back. Chuck Todd is as brainwashed as they come. He is going to be as loyal as he possibly can until he can't be loyal anymore. And that is the point where we're at with Joe Biden. But before I get into all of that, because there's plenty of cuts to go around of the media kind of having a mea culpa moment, slightly, I do want to just drill down a little bit more on what's happening with Ukraine and Russia, because I thought it would be a really good time, Jared, and I'm throwing this at you last minute, but I think it's a nice time to take a trip down memory lane.
Thought I had forgot the past, and now I'm slipping fast. Oh, back down memory lane.
It's hilarious because every time Joe Biden does something ridiculous, like when he gets out there and compares half the country to George Wallace, a lot of people in the media will say, you know, well, a lot of Americans voted for this guy to unify us, and he's kind of being divisive. This is not what people expected. And then other people, you know, on the conservative circles on Twitter will say, Joe Biden has been like this since the beginning. Since the beginning when he was in the towel at the motel hotel. Since the beginning of his career when he was the youngest person to be elected to the Senate. Which, by the way, that's his coolest brag. His second coolest brag is, I like to ride the Amtrak a lot. But either one of those, he's going to tell you about it on a daily basis. But if you look back at Joe Biden's history as far as being divisive, he's done this his entire career. He told a group of black people that if they didn't vote for Obama, that Mitt Romney was going to put them back in chains. This is not something that you need to have. I keep using this expression, but I think it works. You don't need to have a eureka moment with this. We've had this guy in office. We've had this guy in American politics for like 40 years. And at every step of the way, he has shown us who he is. And now the same thing is happening with this situation with Russia and the Ukraine. People are acting surprised that Biden is completely messing this up. But why are they surprised? Because Robert Gates actually wrote about how bad Biden is as far as foreign policy, and he was asked about it right before the election because CNN desperately wanted him to backtrack. CNN really wanted him to say, I know I wrote that Joe Biden's been wrong on everything, but I've had a change of heart. Sure, he told us not to invade when Osama bin Laden was... We had Osama bin Laden cornered and everyone said, yes, go in. And Joe Biden said, no, don't. Sure, he's been wrong on a couple things like that. But I've had a chance to think about it and I think he's actually the right man for the job. But to Robert Gates' credit, he would not do that. He refused to kind of back down. I want to play this as a flashback for everyone. This is Cut 7.
You wrote Joe Biden was a man of integrity. Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades.
I think he's gotten a lot wrong.
You're talking all through the years as vice president.
He opposed every one of Ronald Reagan's military programs to contest the Soviet Union. He opposed the first Gulf War. That list goes on.
That's a former Secretary of Defense for Barack Obama. And the list goes on. And you know what Joe Biden said when he heard that? According to my sources?
Where is everybody?
He said, the last four decades, you just wait to see what I do in the next decade. He's like Tom Brady. You think it's over? It's not even close to being over. And he's proving that he can really make a mark, even at 79 years old. And then what they send out is Antony Blinken. And whenever I think of Antony Blinken, I think of how Tucker Carlson described him a couple of months ago during the Afghanistan withdrawal. That was, some might have called it a botched withdrawal. Take a listen to this.
Tony Blinken, a man so mediocre you gasp when you hear him speak. Can you really be that dumb and run the Department of State? Yeah, you can. And the last several decades of American foreign policy prove that you can.
That you gasp when you hear him speak. I think for most people, you don't even need to hear him speak. You just look at the deer in the headlights look in his eyes and you think, oh boy, we made a big mistake. And then he looks at you and says, are you following me on Spotify? Now, let's listen. Speaking of Blinken, I want to give him his time here. Equal time for all of the morons in the White House. That's our policy at the Grace Curley Show. Chuck Todd was interviewing Tony Blinken, as Tucker calls him. And Chuck was on to something. Cut 6.
The diplomacy, the consistent calls for meetings right now that the Russians are doing. Do you think they're genuine about diplomacy, or do you think they're just essentially playing out the calendar here because he's not going to upset Xi in the Olympics, and essentially we're making it look more legitimate by negotiating? Are you worried that he's playing us a little bit?
Look, it is certainly possible that the diplomacy that Russia is engaged in is simply going through the motions, and it won't affect their ultimate decision about whether to invade or in some other way intervene or not in Ukraine.
That's comforting.
Great news. Thanks, Tony.
And he's like, you know what, Chuck, you seem to have a lot of insight on this. Do you want to join us in the next meeting? I feel like you could really add some much needed information to this.
You like Olivia Rodrigo?
Chuck, you sound like someone who could use a playlist pick-me-up, which brings me to my next topic. Do you follow me on Spotify? He was also on, this is Tony Blinken, of course, he was on with Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation, and he was facing the nation with a look of sheer terror in his eyes. And let's hear what they had to say. This is Cut 4.
Well, what are you negotiating? If Russia's demands are non-starters, I mean, President Biden has already said Ukraine's not going to join NATO anytime soon. You've made this offer of reciprocal military exercises. What's left to talk about?
Margaret, we started this effort at diplomacy and dialogue about 10 days ago. And in the course of that, Russia has put some ideas on the table in writing to both the United States and NATO. We've been in very close consultation with allies and partners on what they put forward. We are now sharing our own ideas, as well as our own deep concerns. And we'll see if in the mix there are things that we can do, again, on a reciprocal basis, that would actually advance collective security in a way that answers some of what we're hearing, and Russia answering a lot of what they're hearing from us.
Oh, word salad. Is he getting his media lessons from Kamala Harris? Is she on the sideline going, nailed it. Great job, Tony. I'll take over for the next one. I think these headlines are going to be great. Let's hear cut five.
If you are focused on deterrence, why not do what Ukraine is asking you to do and sanction now? Take action now. Why keep it as a punitive matter after the fact?
Well, first, we are, as I said, taking action now. We built up across these many weeks a very strong coalition of countries that has made it very clear it will take very significant action if Russia commits renewed acts of aggression.
Right, and Ukraine is saying you could go harder. You could be stronger.
We provided very significant military assistance to Ukraine. We've been taking action against Russian agents in Ukraine. But as to the sanctions, the most important thing we can do is to use them as a deterrent, as a means of dissuading Russia from engaging in further aggression. Once sanctions are triggered, you lose the deterrent effect.
Yeah, you know what might have been helpful? If Biden hadn't removed the sanctions from the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline from Russia to Germany. Is it too late for that? Oh, it is too late. It is too late. I'm glad that, and you know what I have to say? And I meant to open with this. Damn it. I meant to open with this line, but I'm going to use it right now. Remember that Fox News reporter on Friday had the sheer gall to ask Joe Biden, why are you waiting for Putin to make the first move? And he said, that's a stupid question. After the headlines over the weekend, it would appear that it was not that stupid of a question after all. I'm going to be the narrator here and say, it wasn't a stupid question. It was actually a very good question.
And I love, listen, if you punish the child for doing a bad thing, you lose the threat of punishing them in the future at that point. It's like, what kind of logic is this guy working on? If we impose the sanctions won't be a threat anymore. Oh, okay, is it going to stop the invasion? Because that might be the way to go. And by the way, what countries are you working with? Germany didn't take your call.
Hey,
who are we dealing with here?
I'm going to tell you something right now, Jared, okay?
Sorry.
I'm going to tell you something right now as my producer, and I want you to open your ears and open your eyes, okay?
Call them open.
Anthony Blinken, or as I like to call him, Tony Blinken, is part of the best and the brightest, okay? He is part of the Avengers. The adults are back in the room.
That's
so
right.
So all of these ideas you're throwing out, sure they sound good, sure they sound logical, but he's playing chess while we are all playing checkers. If Afghanistan showed us anything, it's that this guy is a step above the rest of us.
You're right. I keep forgetting. I'm just a dumb American who doesn't understand how inflation or the economy or foreign policy works. I could be sitting at a restaurant and no idea what's going on.
Jared's just
happily
looking to put,
ignorant.
You're just looking to put three squares on the table.
I just want to go to the good Denny's in town, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to read you just a couple lines here from Margot Cleveland's piece in The Federalist. If Trump had greenlighted Russia to invade Ukraine like Biden just did, he'd be accused of corruption. He was accused of corruption either way, whether he did that or not. But there's a line here. She says, here's some free intel, Russia. Biden then did the unthinkable, unless you're in Putin's pocket, that is. He told our Russian adversary that NATO is split on how to respond to anything short of a significant invasion. There are differences in NATO as to what countries are willing to do depending on what happens, the degree in which they're able to go. You know what this made me realize is that we for so long wanted transparency and we wanted to hear from Joe Biden. And it was jarring how he would just turn his head and walk away. And we'd see the back of his head. And we'd be like, no, Mr. Biden, Mr. President, we need answers. Talk to us. You promised to be so transparent. He was a little too transparent. He came out and he just said too much, you know? It was the second hour of that thing where things started to unravel, I guess. The president also told his Russian counterpart that we knew they had people in Ukraine now trying to undermine the solidarity within Ukraine about Russia and try to promote Russian interest. Now, the Business Insider detailed Biden's first present to Putin in an article, the title of which presents perfectly the irony laid out below. Trump was slammed for cozying up to Putin, but Biden handed him a greater gift by waiving sanctions on a gas pipeline that could destabilize Europe. That's a huge part of this story. And we'll get into that when we come back. This is a really good piece. It breaks it all down. I'm not trying to pretend to be a foreign policy expert here. Okay, I leave that to Tony Blinken and Kamala Harris and Jen Psaki.
The Presidential Daily Brief, the PDB.
Oh, the PDB. Okay, I'm not privy to the PDB. I'm just a girl out here trying to get some kickboxing in and have a margarita. But I'd be open to anyone else out there who's just like me and is just trying to make heads and tails of this thing. 844-500-4242. Like Marilyn Monroe once said, diamonds are a girl's best friend. If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings. I was talking to my mom about this, and I said, oh, maybe it'd be really nice for an anniversary or something to get some diamond studs. And my mom has had diamond studs before. And she said, sometimes having them isn't as fun as you think because you're so terrified of one of them falling out. It happens a lot with earrings. And so if you spend all this money on diamond studs, it can be kind of nerve-wracking to actually wear them. And also the price is pretty high. Now you can get a stunning 1-carat diamond alternative pair for only $79. Each earring is 1 carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. The quality is amazing. A regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond XL has 106. This gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. I'm actually wearing them right now. I'm going to lift up my headphone here. They're so perfect. I love how they sit on my ear. They're very comfortable, lightweight, but you really can tell that these are just a beautiful piece of jewelry. I get compliments all of the time. And these earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. They've been in business for 54 years and have over 8 million satisfied customers. You have a choice between silver or gold, and they come, as far as like the setting goes, and they come in a beautiful black velvet box. Men, be the star this Valentine's Day. This is a really easy gift that your girlfriend, your wife, anyone in your life is going to absolutely love. Ladies, get the pair you've always wanted. This offer is only good for this week. Shipping is guaranteed before Valentine's Day for this week. So get on this now. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. Shipping is free. That's diamondxl.com, code word Grace Diamond. I'm going to show you guys the earrings one more time here for the Rumble Cam. Very beautiful. That is diamondxl.com, code word Grace Diamond. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. A very great reason to invest in Gold Co. You can just take a look at the market. The market is extremely rocky. Sometimes that can be difficult when you're investing in things. If you want a way to help protect and grow your wealth, go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth Kit that uncovers the secrets your financial advisor won't tell you. That's goldco.com/grace. You want to invest in something you can count on. goldco.com/grace.
Chunks of metal didn't drop 800 points today. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do liberals suddenly questioning the pandemic response? Excuse me. Do liberals suddenly questioning the pandemic response deserve praise? Yes, welcome aboard, or no, where were you years ago?
No, where were you years ago?
89% say no, where were you years ago? Where all this science was the same.
I have a lot of feelings on this, though, because Barry Weiss, formerly of the New York Times, was on Bill Maher, and they're having, you know, a change of heart on everything. I have some thoughts. Luckily, I have 2 more hours to share them. 844-500-4242, journalism in the news when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.